الله الرحمن الرحيم عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقيت إبراهيم ليلة أسري بي فقال يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أقرئ أمتك مني السلام وأخبرهم أن الجنة طيبة تربتي عذبة الماء وأنها قيعان وأن غراسها سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر رواه الترمذي. حضرت عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that I had met Ibrahim عليه السلام on the night of Mi'raj, and Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام said يا محمد O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم give your ummah my salams. What a beautiful hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went and he met Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam is giving salams to us. So therefore ulama say that when we hear this hadith, we must say wa alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yani wa ala Ibrahim as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we are replying to the salam of Ibrahim alayhi salam. At least once we should say that when we hear this hadith. So we are replying to the salam of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had met him, he said, give your ummat my salams and tell your ummat, inform your ummat that jannat tayyibatu turbati azbatul ma, that the soil is very, very fertile. The soil of jannat is very fertile and the water is very shireen. Shireen means very, very sweet, pleasant water. وَأَنَّهَا قِيْعَانَ, and Jannat is barren, it's flat, it's barren. So the soil is fertile, the water is very sweet, it's barren. But the plantation, the vegetation, the trees of Jannat are what? سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. These words, سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. In other words, the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these words that are praising, glorifying, exalting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now one question might come to our mind, is that we've always heard that Jannat is full of fruit and Jannat is very lush. This hadith is saying that it is barren and however the soil is very fertile, the water is very sweet. Ulama explain this hadith in two ways. One is that when a person enters into Jannah, then a person will be given, at that time, at the moment Jannat is completely barren. But when a person is entered into Jannah, in exchange of his good actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill it up with all the trees and all the fruits and all the beauty, in exchange of a person's good actions. The second explanation ulama give is that one hissa, one portion of Jannat is filled with all the beauty and all the fruit and all the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept. And one portion Allah Pak in Jannat has kept it barren. And according to our zikr that we make, according to the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we make, that portion also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill it up. So this is how ulama explain this hadith. So from this hadith we learn something very, very beautiful. Is that firstly how lucky we are to be from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore this is one positive that we should always take out. In an environment when people are so negative, at that time we take out this great, great positive that we are from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at our side. We've got Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there anything that we need to fear? Is there anything that we need to fright? We've got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've got Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is sending his salams to us also. How lucky we are, how fortunate we are. Only person that will be unfortunate is in this time and this opportunity that he's got, he's wasting it. As we mentioned yesterday, person is wasting it on the WhatsApp, he's wasting it reading articles from all over the world. The intelligent thing for a person to do is use this time to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see the month of Ramadan is coming, and before the month of Ramadan comes, at least we should try and do or bring these three qualities in our life. One is muhabbat, that we look for avenues of increasing love. Increasing love amongst our family members, increasing love amongst our friends, increasing love amongst the neighbors. So we look for avenues how we can increase love. So the first thing we need to do is increase love. There was an uncle of mine that had passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr nur recently. That the last day of his life, He went around visiting sick people, taking fruit, going and looking and taking fruit and visiting widows to see that how I can make these people happy for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just after he returned from the visit of visiting sick people and taking fruit for them, visiting the widow, old woman, taking some fruit, spending some time, making them happy, just after he returns, he passes away. How fortunate that looking for avenues of creating muhabbat and then passing away, how fortunate that person is. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that person that visits a sick person, 70,000 malaika make dua istighfar for him. If he visited in the morning, then till the evening they're making istighfar for him. And if he visits a sick person in the evening, then 70,000 malaika make dua istighfar for that person till that morning. Imagine you passing away in a condition when the 70,000 malaika are making istighfar on your behalf. How lucky we are. How lucky that person will be. So one is muhabbat. The second thing is respect. Very, very, very important. Respect for our dini elders. That these people are our dini elders. They may have taught us one harf. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu would say, "Man allamani harfan fa ana abduhu." That person that taught me one letter, alif, ba, ta, tha, I am his slave. So much of respect we have to show to our dini elders. That these are people that taught us. Never mind they may be just apas. Never mind they may be just simple haji sahabs or munshi sahabs. But the fact that they taught me something, I need to respect them. Never ever should it ever happen that it comes out of our tongue any word of respect for disrespect for any alim. If a person disrespects ulama, if a person writes out against ulama, a person speaks out against ulama, then automatically he must realize, I'm talking about an armed person, if he does this, then this is the start of istidraj. Istidraj means the start of a person's downfall. Because he had taken the audacity to write out against the friends of Allah, then how, or speak out against the friends of Allah, then how dangerous this is. So now this is the beginning of istidraj, the beginning of a person's downfall. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayh was a very, very great alim, an ocean of knowledge. He explains that after looking at the different ahadith and the ayat of the Quran, I realized that only on two occasions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war on somebody. One is when a person takes interest, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Allah Pak and Rasulullah, Allah Pak warns him that Allah is declaring war on that person and war against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's got a chance? And the second time is when a person has any type of enmity with the pious, with the Buzrghanuddin, with our Akabir, مَنْ عَادَى لِي وَلِيًّا أَذَنْتُهُ فِي الْحَرْبِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah Pak mentions that person that has any dushmani, any enmity with any wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I have announced war with that person. So can you imagine how serious it is? So this respect of our dini elders. Next is respect of the general elders. Whoever is elder than us, we should have respect for that person. We should respect them so much that we should hold them in high esteem. Always respect them. Try not to contradict them. There was once an occasion, my late grandfather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fill his qabr with nur, Haji Khan sahab, rahmatullah alayh, that there was two great ulama. One alim had written a periodical against another alim, that he was conducting some activities. So one alim had written a periodical against his activities. So when I was quite young, so I told my grandfather, I said, you know this other alim quite well, why don't you take this periodical and explain to him that all these ayat and all the different hadith that are mentioned there that are contradicting your practice, you know this alim quite well, why don't you speak to him? So you see, the old people, always remember that we are fortunate to have the old people around us. The old ulama around us, we're very, very lucky to have them. So he told me, he gave a nice reply. Nice reply. And sometimes before that also he had told me that you remember we old people, we don't have any degrees behind our name, but we got something called experience behind our name. And experience is something that will carry you much more further than what your degree can carry you. So sometimes we put our reliance in our degree, we forget the experience of the experience. So anyway, on this particular occasion when I requested him that why don't you take this periodical and explain it to that other senior alim, that these are all the issues here. Maybe you can talk to him, you are more senior in age and he's your friend also. So he gave a very, very nice reply, and a reply up till now that rings in the ears. He said, remember something, that when giants are speaking, then dwarfs don't get involved. When giants are speaking, then dwarfs don't get involved. At that time, dwarfs don't get involved at all. What a beautiful set of advice. That very often you will find that ulama amongst themselves are speaking. People who are non-ulama, they should all consider themselves. We should all consider ourselves as dwarfs. At this occasion, we don't get involved in the discussion of the big ulama. Let them discuss amongst themselves. They're on the same level. They can talk amongst themselves. We should always regard ourselves as dwarfs. And that, what I mentioned, Mona Hakim ul Ummat rahmatullah alayh mentioned yesterday, that aqeedat ki wajah se, the fact that I had no opinion of my own. When Hazrat Haji Sahib mentioned anything, it was as though I had absolutely no opinion of my own. What he said is what I accepted. So we should bring that in our life. So the second thing is respect, and the third thing is ikhlas. That whatever we do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we do, check our intention. Am I doing it to make Allah happy? If I'm doing it to make Allah happy, then I don't have to worry what the rest of the world is saying. If I'm doing it to make Allah happy, and it's the correct thing, I'm guided correctly by one alim that I trust in, I've seen and I understand and I trust in, I'm guided by him and I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, then I don't need to worry what the rest of the world is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. A person that brings these three qualities, there's great hope that the month of Ramadan will come and he'll have a good month of Ramadan, and there's also great hope that the day he dies also he'll have a good transition into akhirat. May Allah Pa give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.